Welcome to On Texas Football. I'm Bobby Burton, your host, joined by Jerry Hamilton. Jerry, good morning to you. Happy Saturday. I know it's early. Thanks for getting up and getting going. I wanted to talk a little Texas football this morning. Last week, you and I discussed the class of 2024, whether they were ahead of schedule, on schedule, or behind schedule. We thought that got a pretty good response. Some folks asked us to go ahead and look at the class of 2023, the guys that are now going to be sophomores. The problem with doing that is we can't necessarily say they're ahead of schedule, on schedule, any of that. Those kind of categories don't necessarily work. So you and I thought it would be best to maybe categorize them thusly. NFL potential slash starters, contributors, definite contributors, and guys that still have some work ahead of them.
Yeah.
So we're going to try to kind of categorize those in four different categories. Let's start with really who was the marquee player of that 2023 class, got everything started, and that's Arch Manning, the quarterback out of New Orleans. Jerry, based on what we saw in the spring game, I think it's safe to say Arch Manning may have some pro prospects at this point.
Well, not only that, Bobby, but he won every golf major and every tennis major in the national championship in basketball and rowing and rugby and everything that day, according to the national media. But yeah, I mean, Arch Manning, he'll be a pro. The question with Arch Manning is what round and how high, if he's a first rounder, will he be? That's really what's to be determined with Arch Manning. He looked tremendous in the spring game. I guess the only people that are surprised are the people that didn't rank him number one in this industry, betting against the Manning, which is never smart. But Arch Manning will be a pro.
All right, I want to take one step back and say there are 25 signees in this class, high school signees in the 2023 class. Three of them have moved on. So only three out of 25. If you remember back 5 years ago, one of Tom Herman's first classes or second class, half of them were almost gone in the first year. So Steve Sarkisian is doing a good job of keeping these guys around too. But let's go to the next position. I completely agree. Future pro slash starter, whatever you want to call him, Arch Manning. Let's go to running back, where I thought Texas, I think, did a really good job here. And it's because they got depth and a top line starter in Cedric Baxter. And then you have Trey Wisner, who I think is not only going to be a contributor, he looks like he might be a starter at one point in his career as well. Whereas when you saw this, when you initially saw this, you thought, oh, well, you know, Cedric Baxter is definitely going to be a guy. But Trey Wisner is so good, Jerry. I think people, including maybe myself and other recruiting guys, took him a little bit for granted. But he's not letting people do that to himself.
No, absolutely not. He is proven to be the best slasher of any running back in the program. And look, Cedric Baxter is going to be a pro. The next couple of years will determine where. That is, I mean, he had a good season for not being able to stay healthy last year. And as Rod Babers says, he's got a little more armor on this year. That physicality is now carrying through the runs, not just on contact, but through runs now headed in the year two. And Trey Wisner is, I mean, look, he's a special teams dynamo, a whiz, whatever you want to call him. He's got good hands out of the backfield, and he brings a slashing element with the quickness to get outside the hashes that only him and Jaden Blue have in the program. So I think Trey Wisner is going to be contributor slash starter before his days are over in Texas.
I would agree. And, you know, the NFL is not out of the question by any stretch. If Keelan Robinson's going to get drafted, and I like Keelan now. He's a good returner and a good special teams guy. But as a running back, slash a guy out of the backfield, I'm not so sure. Trey Wisner long term doesn't have more potential there. Wide receiver, three guys taken. Jonte Cook, the only one that really saw a bunch of time last year, followed by DeAndre Moore and then Ryan Niblett. Let's talk about Cook first of all, because he is slotted to start at this time. He's the definite guy that of this group that you would say definite starter and likely definite NFL. As of right now, so long as he keeps going.
Yeah, I think the where in the NFL is the question. I think he looks like a mid to lower round guy to me. Very good player. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not sure he has one trait that it would take him high in the draft, right? That's to be proven out. But I think definite starter at Texas and a guy that's going to get drafted just to where is where he's going to have to prove that in the next two or three years.
Yeah, you know, is he going to run a low 4.4 or a mid 4.3 like A.D. Mitchell? I mean, A.D. Mitchell went 52 overall, is 2 inches taller, you know, and ran mid 4.3.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's hard to figure that out. Now, maybe he ends up being a better route runner. We'll see. This will be a prove-it year in a lot of ways for Jonte Cook. DeAndre Moore, you know, kind of snuck into this class a little bit at the very back end of it, if you recall. Had a quiet year on the 40 acres his freshman year. This spring, he started to make some noise, that big reception in the spring game against on the bomb from Arch Manning to start Arch Manning's day off. I thought Moore looked more and more like he's going to be an eventual starter at Texas. Yeah. Question is he going to be an NFL guy? He's definitely a contributor slash starter, not going to have a guy that's just beat up by the roster entirely.
No, absolutely not. And I put him in the same boat as Jonte Cook, honestly. I think they're about the same headed into this year. I think DeAndre Moore is the best route runner, the smoothest route runner on the team. I should say the smoothest route runner, not necessarily the best, but he's the smoothest route runner. So that gives him deceptive speed opportunities. He's a guy who's a quarterback. He's going to be a quarterback's best friend on third down because they know he's going to be in the right place at the right time. I put him in the same category as Jonte Cook. I think he's a starter level guy that could be an NFL player. The next 2-3 years are going to prove where. The one thing about DeAndre Moore, he is faster than people think. Yeah, he is deceptive with his speed.
Gotcha. Ryan Niblett, the third receiver, he's been a little bit behind the other group of guys. What are your thoughts there?
He's in the to-be-determined category for me. He had a really good catch in the spring game. I think it was Arch's second completion of the spring game. He proved that he could get to the ground, get his arms under a football, and gear down to make that play. That was a crossing route. He's got a lot of ability. If he has patience with his development, his athleticism is among the best in the Texas program. And that's going to be the key for him. I think his patience are going to be tested this next season at Texas because of all the guys in the portal that came in, plus Ryan Wingo, plus Jonte Cook, plus DeAndre Moore. So it's going to be hard to get in Sark's circle of trust, as Rod Babers calls it. But if he's patient with his process and development, he's got some upside, Bobby. I mean, he's too good of an athlete not, and showing that ability to adjust to a football like he did in the spring game, that's start of development for him because he had never played a lot of wide receiver and really trained at that position before.
Well, I think it's interesting you mentioned that. And Niblett was a name that we heard might be thinking of transferring, not that we could ever confirm that or anything like that, but he didn't. Right. And so he's showing some patience. He, like you said, Cook and Moore both played wide receiver full time in high school.
Yeah. And by the, to your point, Bobby, if he was thinking about transferring, that means Sark and those guys convinced him not to, which says something about what they think of Ryan Niblett's future.
Yep. Absolutely. All right. Before we go forward into tight ends, offensive line, the rest of the 2023 recruiting class, I want to say thank you to Laura Baker, our sponsor. She's got an open house. If you're out and about this week in Austin, especially later today from 1 to 3, she has an open house at 8805 Fick Cove. It is over in the Meadows of Brushy Creek area in Round Rock. Again, that is 8805 Fick Cove. Open house from 1 to 3 today. That's Laura.
Bobby, that's a big backyard. We could have a combine back there.
We could have a combine in that backyard. No. We'd line them up. All right. Yeah. Tight ends. Let's go there, Jerry, if you don't mind. Spencer Shannon, Will Randall. Your thoughts on those two guys?
Too early. Too early for me on that because these are both guys that have a lot of development. Will Randall was coming off an ACL. Could he end up being Andrew Beck? Only time will tell there. I mean, that's similar to his size, frame, I think ability. Spencer Shannon is an inline blocking prospect, a three-point stance tight end. But those guys have so much development in front of them. I think those are in the to-be-determined category for me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think that Randall is definitely behind Shannon at this point. Shannon is one of the better inline tight ends Texas has right now. I'm not sure that he's not on – I don't know that he's quite what Gunnar Helm has the chance to be this year, like if that's the upside. Or if he's more of a strict inline guy. But I do think he's going to end up being a contributor. I don't know if Will Randall, because of Jordan Washington behind him, and Randall's more of a receiving guy, he may be sandwiched there a little bit. So I feel a little bit stronger about Shannon at this point. You know, we never know how things can roll out. But at this point, a little bit stronger on him than Randall. Offensive line is a little bit interesting. Texas obviously took 7 scholarship offensive linemen in 2022, then went with 5 in 2023. This 5 is not as ballyhooed as the previous 7. So let's get that clear. One of them has already transferred, and that's Peyton Kirkland. The other 4, Connor Stroh has seen some second-team reps at guard. Trevor Goosby, some second-team reps at left tackle. Jaden Chapman, second-team reps at guard and tackle. And then Andre Kojo, second-team reps, and fought a little bit with Brandon Baker in that group. Your overall thoughts on that offensive line group? Because I will say this, they're good, but I don't know. There's no Kelvin Banks in that group.
Right.
You know, there may not be a DJ Campbell or Cameron Williams in that group either from a, oh my God, look at this guy coming off the bus. Now, Trevor Goosby and Jaden Chapman, probably the 2 best looking guys, Connor Stroh making a go of it. Kojo has some talent. What are your thoughts?
I think a couple of those guys are going to end up being starters. Who they're going to be, I think, is going to be proven out over time. But I'll say this, the fact that only Peyton Kirkland left, that was pretty much a win for Kyle Flood and Steve Sarkisian, because there's some of those guys that were third team in the spring game, essentially is what they ran with. But I think, look, I think Trevor Goosby, if he can get stronger in his lower body, will be in position to fight for the left tackle spot after Kelvin Banks goes pro this year. Got to continue to get stronger and develop. And he came into Texas on a 2-year development cycle to physically, technically, to let that body catch up. He was a late developer in high school. You know, Jaden Chapman, I think, has a lot of ability. The question there is, where's his home going to be? I mean, this spring he worked at left tackle, he worked at right tackle, he worked at guard. That's a lot for a guy going into year 2. So I think Texas is still looking to find his home. But I think athletically, he may be the best of that bunch in that class. Then you have Connor Stroh, I think will be a contributor for sure at right guard for Texas. I could see him after this year, I could see him being in the 8 that Kyle Flood says, I got 8 guys. I could see him being in that 8. I don't think it's out of the question. I think he's Hayden Connor with more playing strength in the run game is kind of the way I'm looking at Connor Stroh. He's a bigger body than Hayden Connor. And Kojo to me is a wild card. He's still so young. I mean, I think he just turned 18. He's in year 2 of the program. There aren't many guys in college football that are 18 years old in year 2 in a college program. So I think his potential issue, Bobby, is if he stays at right tackle, Brandon Baker is going to continue to elevate. That's going to be Kojo's problem.
Yeah, I think it's a good offensive line class. I don't know if it's a phenomenal one like the previous group.
To be a development group, right, Bobby? I mean, that's kind of was part of it. Because you mentioned in that 22 group, you knew Kelvin Banks is a likely first rounder after year 1, right? And these guys know. Flood's been around a long time. He knows what he has. There, the thought was 4 pros in that 22 group. Well, those guys are going to play 3 or 4 years at Texas. So the next group behind them is going to be a developmental group that's going to need a couple of years of development to even start to ascend towards their ceiling. So I think the classes line up perfectly. And what helps the 23 class is Texas only signed 3 in 24.
Right. There's not a lot behind them.
Yeah.
To your point. All right. The edge prospects that came in, that's the offense. There were 13 offensive players. If I'm just counting up right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, one of these offensive linemen, at least maybe 2 are going to play in the NFL would be our bet. 6 to 7 at this point would be it. Let's go over to defense. Out of 13 signees, that's pretty strong, Jerry.
Yes.
All right. Now, defense, they had 12 signees. Colton, let's go with edge first. Colton Bosick, Billy Walton, and Tasilia Akana. Obviously, Walton already transferred. He's off to SMU. Vasek, we got our first real look at him in burnt orange this spring. I got to tell you, I think we like what we saw.
Yeah. No, I think Vasek, whether he starts a game or not the next 2 years, because Texas is young at edge, He is going to be a starter level player if he's healthy. I don't think there's any doubt about it. The key there is he going to be remain healthy? He came off a rough year where he wasn't even suited out last year. So he didn't have nicks. He had injuries last year. But he looked really good in the spring game, and he has the two things you can't coach, and that's motor and physicality. And he's got those two components. Obviously, he's been well coached by his father, former Texas defensive lineman, who's now the defensive line coach at Westlake. So I think starter level player, but I think since he had such an unhealthy, unlucky year one, we have to see it over time before I can make any point that, oh, this guy could play in the NFL. Let's see if he stays healthy over time. But I think he's a starter level player for sure.
I think he's got NFL ability if he stays healthy. Yeah, that's kind of where I come from. At Akana is a little bit different. He's been the kind of a mismatch guy, played a little, kind of rotates that linebacker spot so he can rush the passer a little bit, play edge and set the edge a little bit too. He's a little interesting because he's also older for his grade. And so how much more growth does he really have to do? But I tell you what, you talk to people around the program, they really like him too.
He's got a natural knack feel for rushing the passer. He has really good snap count anticipation. He has a really good give you the outside shoulder and dip inside on you. He's got really quick feet. He's just a designated pass rush specialist right now. The question for him, how big is he ever going to get? Like you said, he's only a few months from being able to buy beer. Okay, so he's older than a lot of guys in this class. So when you consider that he's 20 years old already, over 20, and he's weighing, what, about 220 right now? How big is that frame? How much can that frame handle? Because he's not a super long arm guy. He's not super broad. So how much frame can that handle? I think he's going to be a contributor. I can't go much beyond that right now, but I do think because of his pass rush ability, he could be a contributor that impacts winning in one area, and that's rushing the passer.
Let's talk about Sadir Mitchell next, defensive tackle. Yeah, NFL potential from day one.
Yes.
As we've been just saying, potential, though, is part of the problem, right? He's got to be more than potential. But you know what? He decided to stay. Could have easily gone in the transfer portal after a slow start this spring, but apparently turned it around at the end of spring and midway through it and got back after it. And now we're looking at a guy that, frankly, Jerry, there's a clear path to the field for him.
Look,
they missed on Dominic Williams in the transfer portal.
The easiest thing for Sadir Mitchell to do would have been transfer back to Rutgers, where he'd be guaranteed 30-35 snaps a game. He didn't take the easy way out. That's a start for Sadir Mitchell. The guys who face adversity, if they stick it out, that's a really good sign for those guys. And look, he might have had a little bit of a health issue too, which slowed down his workouts in January and February leading into spring practice a little bit. I know he missed a couple of weeks there. But this is a huge summer for Sadir. If he can get his weight down from 370-ish to 345, that's going to be a big start for him because, to me, if he can stay on the field for multiple snaps, I think, and get a little quicker, get some of that quickness back he had as a junior in high school, he's got a chance to be a good player. I mean, look, it's similar to Niblett, but I think Mitchell, even the more talented guy, Bobby, Texas could have let him walk if they wanted to. But that's not what they wanted. They still see potential and Sadir Mitchell. I mean, he's still the guy that Kirby Smart and Trey Scott fought for until December, until signing day. So Sadir Mitchell's got it inside him. And the Texas fans are going to lose patience if he doesn't show it on the field starting week one. But I think this summer and the whole season, working with Kenny Baker, working with Torrey Becton, is going to be huge for our opinion on Sadir Mitchell. Right now, I'll say he's going to be a starter-level player. A long term, if he continues to stick with it. Beyond that, I can't go there until I see his conditioning.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. Next group, Darian Gallette. By the way, I want to say this about Sadir Mitchell. Tavondre Sweat took 5 years.
Yeah,
let's just remember that. Yeah. So don't try to rush to judgment on some of these guys. Yeah. Even though we're doing this here and talking a little bit about these guys, give some people some grace here a little bit too. All right, linebacker Darian Gallette, Anthony Hill, Samaje Burrell, who's transferred, and Leonga Lafau. Look, Hill's already a bona fide guy.
Yeah,
he's a dude. I think that we know that not only is he a starter, he's got NFL written across his helmet.
Yeah, his question
is, it doesn't say Riddell, it says NFL.
It says NFL. And the only question for him is, will he go first, second, or third round? And we'll see. He's going to go in the top three rounds in the NFL draft. Some of that may be his ability to play in space or what the NFL sees him as. But he is going to play in the NFL. He is going to be a draft pick in the first three rounds. The next 2 years, I think, will tell the story. I think he can be a first rounder. I could also see him as a second rounder. I think he'll end up in one of those two rounds. Leon Lafau, I think he's going to be a starter level player at Texas, and a guy that will get looks from NFL scouts because he's just too instinctive and he plays too well in space. He's got long enough arms. He's physical enough guy. I just like the way that guy flows to the football. He has a very natural linebacker pace, feel, and movement to his game. So I think he's got – Bobby, I don't know about you, but I think he's got a good future. Where are you at on Darian Gillette?
Gillette is an interesting one to me because I think that he has a load of talent. I mean, yes. you don't do what he did in high school with the, 23, 24-foot long jump and – average whatever he did. I mean, his basketball
with his elbows above the rim. I mean,
yes. Yeah, you don't do that. The question is he a linebacker or is he an edge?
That's the
question. And that was always the question coming into his college career. And I'm not so sure he's answered that question quite yet. However, like the other guys, patience. He's in some ways, Jerry, he's very similar to Ryan Niblett in that he didn't always play the position. And he lost his senior year because of his knee.
Yeah. I think he's such an interesting prospect, Bobby, because he's the one guy, and we all make this mistake in the business. We've all made it over the years. 6'3", 225, really good athlete. Let's just go make him a linebacker. College coaches do it too. It's not that easy. It's an instinctive position, to your point. So if it, after 2 years in the program, okay, he's just not a linebacker. He still has another opportunity for success because he can be an athletic guy playing off the edge. And you know at that position his athleticism will shine. The question for Darian to me coming out of high school was twofold. One, I already hit on it. Is he a linebacker? Can he go read keys, play linebacker? You go back to the simple things like a Ray Lewis camp, which we used to run for ESPN Under Armour, and he had a drill that he would take all these guys through called reading the triangle. And he would tell you after three reps, he'd turn around and say, guy can't play linebacker. He can't read it. He can't read the triangle quick enough to play the game. So that was question one. Question two was, you know, with Darian was the physicality. Because he had been a jack of all trades. He had never been asked to go be the most physical football player on the field. So I think he somewhat answered that. I thought he was a physical player in the spring game, which so if linebacker doesn't work out, and I'm not saying it is or isn't, then I think he's got the physicality and athleticism to be a factor off the edge.
Yep. Good call there, Jerry. I tend to agree with you on that. All right. One last time for our sponsor. That's our friend Laura Baker at Keller Williams Realty. Give her a call, 512-784-0505. If you're in or around the Austin area and looking for a realtor moving to town or away from town or want to just get somewhere else to come in and watch games on the weekends, want a condo, something like that, give Laura a shout, 512-784-0505, or visit her at laura@andyallenteam.com. I do want to show this house one more time. She's got this going on, a open house Saturday from 1 to 3. That's later today, 8805 Fick Cove over in the Brushy Meadow subdivision in Round Rock. We appreciate Laura and her ongoing sponsor. She's been with us almost from the start. Jerry, really appreciate her. All right, defensive back. Texas signed four defensive backs in this 2023 class. Malik Muhammad, Manny Muhammad, no-brainer at this point. Warren Roberson, another corner. He's looking good, but is he ever going to be a contributor/starter? He's going to play on special teams, but will he break that glass ceiling, so to speak, and make it as a starter? Then you have Derek Williams, who's already been a starter,
bro,
as well as Jelani McDonald. What do you think of those four?
I think Manny Muhammad's a pro, top three round pick. You know, some people might say, well, how fast is he? Well, I think he's so good at playing in phase and such a student of the game. He may be the guy that can run 4.52 and be a late first round pick. I think he, like Terry and Arnold just went in the first round and ran 4.47 and 4.50. So it can be done for guys that that play in phase and just have a real knack in coverage. And that's not even what Terry and Arnold is. That's what Malik Muhammad is. I think Derek Williams is going to be a pro football player as well. I think, you know, look, I always go back to Steve Sarkisian in the press conference said this guy could be a first-round pick. You just don't hear that very often. And I agree. I do think he can be a first-round pick. The next two seasons will tell that story. Warren Roberson, to be determined. For me, I think he can be a contributor. I don't know yet beyond that. I want to see a little bit more of him. Jelani McDonald's the complete wild card. You look at him when he walks on the field and you say pro. But now that he's learning safety, I think he has the range. I think he's got the physicality. Is he going to run fit at the safety position? Is he going to be able to walk? Are you going to be able to walk him down and put him on a really athletic wide receiver in the slot? Those, I think, are the two questions that are going to have to be answered about Jelani. I think he's going to be a starter-level player at Texas in an NFL frame, but the play will have to be to be determined.
Interesting. I agree with everything you just said. Let me give you these names, and this these are key years for these guys, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, you have DeAndre Moore, in my opinion, key year, not only for Jonte Cook, because they think Jonte's going to start, but DeAndre Moore, Jaden Chapman and Trevor Goosby.
Yeah.
Then you add Sadir Mitchell.
Yes.
Colton Vosick, maybe a Leonga Lefau and a Jelani McDonald. Those guys. Yes. We already know a lot about Derek Williams. About Arch Manning, even to a degree, and we know about Manny Muhammad.
Yeah.
Right. We know about Cedric Baxter. It's how this next group, not the tier that came in really highly rated necessarily, but that next tier, that's going to be the plus minus of the 2023 recruiting class.
I think 100% agree. I think my last point on this is so far, this was an extremely well evaluated class. I think we can say that. Texas did a really good job evaluating players. They weren't all early takes, too. Jelani McDonald was a later take. Warren Roberson was a later take. I think they did a really good job in evaluation in this class. I think they hit on athleticism, speed, found instinctive football players. I mean, you look at Manny Muhammad and Anthony Hill and Leonga Lefau. Those guys are very instinctive football players to me. So I think they hit on about everything you need to in this class. Now the question is, Bobby, I mean, are you going to get the 8, 9, 10 pros in this class? If you do, if those guys come through and they are those draft, if you can hit on 8 to 10 draftable kids out of a high school class, combined with what you know you'll pull in the portal, those guys last 2 years at Texas, you're going to have you could have a draft with 12 or 13 guys get drafted.
Yeah, I think that we're going to wait and see here because also got to remember guys like Hill and Muhammad, you have to think they may be gone in a year and a half.
Yes, they're 3 years out.
Yeah. I mean, so you just don't know whether they're going to go in 3 years or 4 years.
Three and out if you can.
Yeah. No, I get it. All right. That's going to do it. Overall, it was a top three ranked class for the Longhorns. 25 players signed. Three guys have transferred at this point. So I don't think attrition is this major issue like it has been at some classes, highly ranked classes of Texas in the past. They've clearly got some pathways, a number of guys with possible NFL futures. Look, again, I think it's a strong class. I think the 24 class we just evaluated last week, same thing.
Bobby, to your point, Texas kept guys that might have been thinking about leaving in this class.
Yes.
They see a lot. They think they've evaluated this class really well, too. Because if they didn't, you'd have seen a couple more guys walk.
Yeah. Or be encouraged to walk.
Yes.
You know, that too. All right, that's going to do it for this Saturday morning conversation. Thanks for getting up early. Jerry Hamilton, thanks to our sponsor, Laura Baker. For Jerry Hamilton, I'm Bobby Burton. That's been this morning's Saturday morning conversation. Hook 'em, guys.